This is Conversations on Public Health. Obesity and related metabolic disorders, such as type 2 diabetes, now constitute one of the greatest threats to human health globally, and solutions to the problem remain limited. In the laboratory of Gökhan Hodamishlagil, J.S. Simmons Professor of Genetics and Metabolism and Chair of the Department of Genetics and Complex Diseases at the Harvard School of Public Health, researchers have discovered that a new form of chronic inflammation, which Hodamishlagil calls metaflammation, is a critical mechanism in metabolic disease. This work has also led his lab to a new discovery in the metabolic disease area that is related to the failure of an important organelle inside the cells known as the endoplasmic reticulum, also referred to in this podcast as ER. In a new paper appearing in the May 2, 2011 issue of the journal Nature, Hodamishlagil's team reports their latest findings in their ongoing obesity research. You've previously discovered that chronic metabolic diseases such as obesity and diabetes are caused by a mechanism called endoplasmic reticulum stress. Can you elaborate on this and tell us how this mechanism works and how it's related to human disease?
Yes, I'll be happy to. So endoplasmic reticulum is a vast tubular network in all cells, and it is principal known recognized function is to synthesize, fold, and traffic proteins into their cellular destinations. And in this process, it also makes sure that the proteins are properly synthesized and folded, so it's a quality control function as well. And so over the past couple of years, studies in our lab actually show that the function of ER is far more than just folding proteins and sending them into their destinations, but more survey the metabolic status of the cell. So once we discovered this function, then we reasoned that such a function may be under specific set of challenges in diseases like obesity. We set out to examine this. This is now a number of years ago, and recognized that in tissues like liver, adipose tissue, this organelle is under tremendous strain during the course of obesity, and it experiences a condition which we call endoplasmic reticulum stress, and it emits signals that leads to problems in metabolic responses.
And what have you found in your current research?
So in the current research, we believe we found an answer to one of the important mysteries of this function. As I mentioned, the main biology of this organelle is known in the context of proteins. However, we are seeing a new set of responses in the course of metabolic regulation, and therefore a really critical question after our discovery of ER stress in obesity and diabetes was, so how does this organelle fail? Why such a robust function fails to deal with the challenges of obesity, a little extra nutrient and energy coming into the system? So that was an uncharted territory because there's really no mechanistic insight existed into the function of ER in this capacity, regulating lipid metabolism, regulating glucose metabolism, insulin action, type 2 diabetes, obesity. So in order to tackle this question, we took, rather than going after candidate mechanism one by one, we took a very systematic approach. And I have to give credit to my fellow Sunan Fu, who was a tremendously talented biochemist. So he figured out ways to purify this organelle from tissues of lean and obese samples, and then identified each one of the thousands of proteins that are present in this organelle, and also each one of the hundreds of lipid molecules that makes the membranes of this organelle. As a result of this analysis, if I have to summarize very briefly, we found that something quite profound takes place in obesity. The liver, and in contrast to what we and everyone else in the field assumed, switched its synthetic capacity from making proteins to making lipids. The assumption was since ER is involved in protein metabolism and obesity or a condition of overnutrition gives you plenty of materials, energy, substrates, and nutrients to synthesize many lipids, proteins, the assumption was in obesity, the liver will be making many more proteins and therefore ER would be overwhelmed. What we found in what I call a really huge surprise is actually the ER makes less proteins, so it's inappropriate in its capacity to produce proteins, but switches all of its energy to make lipids.
How do these alterations lead to diabetes?
That's an excellent question. So in this study, we found that during the changes in lipid synthesis, there are specific lipids that constitute the membranes of the ER, which are changed in obesity. So what does this mean? We reasoned that once these changes happen, the properties of the ER would also be influenced. And we were inspired during this work that 25-30 years ago, actually, people who studied channels have found that you need very particular membrane lipids in order for the channels that bring in and out fuel to ER to operate. So to shortly state what we found, in the presence of these differences, we observed that ER is leaking calcium and a very, very critical material for ER to be able to do its function. It's almost the fuel, in addition to energy, that ER needs to bring in to do its job. And in the presence of these changes, these channels didn't work, ER couldn't bring enough calcium, therefore could not conduct its function.
Were these findings unexpected?
These findings were unexpected in the sense that we really didn't expect to find reduced protein synthesis, rather a lipid-driven mechanism disrupting the function of ER. And another unexpected finding is among all the lipids and all the increase in lipid synthesis, we found such specific changes which are linked to a trafficking of a molecule into the ER. So these two aspects of our study was unexpected.
What might be the preventive or therapeutic opportunities based on your findings?
Yeah, so part of this we were able to address in this paper. Obviously, we're interested in addressing this mechanism so that we could develop ways to fix problems of ER, therefore the organs in which ER works in a metabolic context. So we tested two possible interventions in this paper, of course, in experimental setting. One is to interfere with the activity of an enzyme which produces the lipids that are disrupted in obesity. So the goal here was if we interfere with the mechanism that produces the harmful lipid profile, perhaps we can recover the harmful effects of that lipid profile. And so we did this by genetics. We interfered with the activity of this enzyme in the liver, which resulted in the correction of the lipid abnormalities and correction of the ER dysfunction as a result. And these animals recovered from high blood glucose or hyperglycemia, high blood insulin levels, and fatty liver disease, and we were able to restore their glucose tolerance. So that was a pretty dramatic effect. And our second strategy was to give back a channel into the liver which can deliver more calcium into the ER. So we did this through a gene transfer methodology, and we packaged a protein called CIRCA and delivered it into the liver ER. And once we achieved this, then ER brought plenty of calcium, and then the result was exactly the same. There was no longer ER stress, insulin resistance, hyperglycemia, or fatty liver disease in these animals. And a third possibility, since these are lipid changes, I'm equally interested in thinking and searching for possibilities for dietary interventions to fix these lipid abnormalities. Although we haven't tested this possibility in this particular study, that's something in our mind to do in the future.
Can you tell us a little bit about your current directions and future studies emerging from these discoveries?
Yeah, so one area which we are very interested is to look into other organs. Although liver is a very dominant organ in metabolic regulation and a site where we see this stress and inflammatory changes in obesity, we cannot automatically say that the changes that we find in the liver would be applicable to the problems of adipose tissue, pancreas, heart, muscle, central nervous system, etc. And so since we have a very potent platform now to look systematically into the building blocks of this organelle, we would like to extend this platform to analyze, for example, fat tissue from lean and obese subjects. We also will be very much interested in doing a similar analysis in human samples from lean and obese subjects. And lastly, we are very interested in finding out more creative, practical intervention strategies based on the mechanisms that we have discovered.
This has been a Harvard School of Public Health production. Please visit us on the web at www.hsph.harvard.edu.